I invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. This has been it's been exceptionally rough 2 weeks for our valley. After tomorrow, I will have done 4 funerals in 10 days. 2 of those are longtime beloved members of our church. The other 2 are beloved parents of people. And I'm sure many of you have heard of the car accident that happened on 154. Vanessa Blay and her 2 children were struck and killed by a guy who was trying to end his life. And shortly after that, one of the high school freshman students died from opioids. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough week to hold all of that as well, to try to hold on to the pain that our collective valley is experiencing. And right in the midst of all of that, here we come and gather for our All Saints Sunday, the time of the year where we honor all of our loved ones who have passed away over this last year. And I have been with most of you during that time too, and I can still remember so viscerally the pain and the grief that accompanies losing a loved one. It's been a tough week. And here we gather as united beloved children of Christ, coming to mourn and lift up and comfort one another. When I think about what Christianity has offered to people during these times in their lives over the years, I really feel that Christianity is both a blessing and a curse. To me, it seems like a curse because it's been misconstrued. Christianity has been treated as this way to skip over grief, a way to look at a person who has lost someone they've loved and say, well, they're in a better place, or you're going to see them again one day. It's one of those ways that I think we as human beings have concocted so that we don't have to sit in grief. We could just try to move past it as quickly as possible. It's become our fix-it solution to the pain that accompanies the inevitable loss of life, as well as the inevitable love that comes with that life throughout knowing those people. But then there's the blessing of Christianity too. And especially for us as Lutherans, that is the cross. That is that we believe and affirm a God who went to the cross and died. It is that we find our support at the feet of that very cross. The comfort for me as a pastor isn't so much in the aspect of the afterlife, the heaven that happens next, but more in the God who suffers with us, the God who is present with us in our grief and our pain. And because we try to move past that grief so quickly, we forget about the cross. We forget about this poor Palestinian Jewish guy who reached out to the vulnerable, who lifted up those in need, and ultimately who died for the world. A God who promises to be with us in all of those moments of pain and sorrow and grief in our lives. It's hard to put into words what this looks like, and so I'm not going to try to do that with my own words today. I'm going to read something to you all. This is a letter that Max Gleason wrote. Max is the husband of Vanessa Blay and the father of the two children who died. This is a man who lost everything. And I've been thinking since hearing about this and talking to friends of Vanessa, what could this guy possibly be going through, and what could he possibly have to say of substance in a time like this? And so I'm just simply going to read this to you. And I do want to warn you, it's raw. This is Max Gleason writing. As I think of those words, my name, Max Gleason, I do not know what they mean anymore. Once the ego is recognized at a young age, maybe 3 or 4 years old, we spend the rest of our lives creating meaning around the name, creating what we think is an identity. I remember as a child, I think I was 4, when I had the realization that everyone else in the world has a life, has a story, and that the world was happening outside of me, not just in me. I have held that memory of realization. Now, at 39 years old, I do not remember the actual memory, just the remembering of the memory, because I have held it with me over the years as part of my story, my identity, Max Gleason. All we are, really, when we think of our identities, is just a collection of memories. Thousands or millions of memories stuck in a brain that is what people are, mostly. And most of those memories are just photographs. The real memories, the non-photographed memories, fade very quickly. There is essence to life. There is essence to identity, but it is so rarely glimpsed in our day-to-day routines. Our world is constructed and we generally operate on a collection of memories, be they short-term and easily discarded or long-term and necessary to retain our identities as we move through life. So rare do we touch the essence of ourselves or the people around us. It happens through love, through touch, through the ecstatic climax of sex, or through the touch of my child. Essence. Life essence. So profound, yet so rarely felt. I am scared for my memories and therefore my identity. The love of my life, Vanessa Blay, and our two children, Lucienne Blay Gleason and Desmond Blay Gleason, were murdered. I am still alive. All I have of them now are memories. I am so scared that those memories are going to fade. They will be replaced by photographs and words. Their essence will no longer be available to me. I am so sad about that. It is the worst sorrow in this universe. My identity has been gutted, and now I have the long, difficult task of creating a new identity. The thought of that is so unknown and terrifying. My family was murdered. Their death was not some senseless random act, but a deliberate act of evil. Evil exists in the world. It inhabited John Roderick Dungan, and he deliberately ran into my wife's car in an attempt to kill himself and kill others. He succeeded in the latter, but not the former. He is still alive. My family is dead. There is evil all over in this world. We hear about it every day in the news. It is the dark force. But there is also a light force that exists as a counterpoint to the darkness. Reading about Taoism and Buddhism, and especially the often amusing ramblings of Alan Watts, have significantly helped me in my understanding of the big ego questions. Who are we? Why are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going? As Taoism explains, there cannot be light without dark. There cannot be love without evil. There would be no appreciation of love without evil, because we need the counterpoint with which to compare love to. Otherwise, it has no meaning, no definition. In thinking about the death of Vanessa, Lou, and Dez, I am finding some small solace in the thought that their light collectively was so strong that it required such strong evil to extinguish their light. Theirs was not blowing out a candle with a breath, it was dumping a bucket of water on a wildfire. It needed something so strong, so violent, in order to counterbalance and honor the light that they were in this world. I have only realized this fact this morning. This is 4 days after they died. I felt the extinguishing of their light so profoundly, so acutely that first night. And every day since, it comes in waves, some more intense, others milder. But I am realizing the full intensity of their light now with the people that are still here. The amount of feeling in the world right now for my dead babies is unreal. People are loving and hurting all across the world. The messages keep coming in, and from people I have never even met or knew existed. Vanessa touched so many people. Her life force was so large that people are coming out of nowhere and feeling this loss. And they are not just sorry for me. Apparently, people are feeling this pain. I am trying to understand this. I'm trying to understand how so many people could give a shit. And the only way I understand it in my rational mind is that this is archetypal. The symbol of a young mother and her two babies being killed is so primal. It so cuts to the core of what we are as human beings. It cuts to the core of our biology, because we are animals trying to breed and survive and pass on our DNA. That is evolution. That is why all mothers protect their young at whatever cost. It cuts to the core of our culture. All cultures are based on family, which extends to tribe, which extends to cities, states, nationalities, but the root of all culture is the family. When a family is killed, the culture feels it. It cuts to the core of our spirit. This is the real archetype. What is spirit? No one can describe it, but almost everyone feels it. It is why we have religion. It is why we write books to try to understand. We don't understand, but we feel it. That is why we keep doing any of this, because we feel the spiritual undercurrent in life. The rational brain does not do it. Rationally, there is no reason to keep making babies, working, eating, dying, and repeating this process over and over and over again. It does not make sense. So why do we do it? We do it because we feel the spiritual undercurrent in life. We know, not rationally, but intuitively, that there is something larger at play, that we are part of a divine process. That is the essence. That essence that is only glimpsed through love, through the touch of my child's hand, through fully joining with someone in the climax of sex. That is the essence of life and the essence of identity. If I can say anything to anyone at this time, it is to be in that essence. Feel it. Stop moving around. Stop all your busy work. Live in the essence. Touch the people that you love. Hold quiet space with them. Feel them. That is all we have. It is all you have right now. It is all you will ever have. That is the whole point to anything. How do you hold on to so much pain in the world? How do you survive it? How do you survive losing someone or anyone, people, children that you love so much? There's no answer to that. The only answer is what you have sitting with you right here in this room right now. For those of you that are here mourning the loss of someone you loved over this last year, you have a community of people sitting in this room who love you, who are here for you, and who will always be here for you. You have memories of those that you've lost that live on inside of you, that will never go away. You are who you are because of the collective love that has shaped you, and that never goes away either. Please stand as you are able.